Betsy will tell you about later in our hour. So if you would please don't forget to sign your attendance in our binders at the ends of the pews. And now let us worship God together. As we sing our opening hymn together, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you. As we come this morning in prayer, what a blessing it is to be here in the body of Christ to pray together for each other for the requests that we know our God can feel and fulfill. Let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as the great hymn reminds us, we need thee every hour. Bless us now, our Savior, as we come to your throne of mercy. This morning we gather to extol your almighty name on high, O Lord, for you have lifted our eyes from the pit of despair to the glory of your praise. And we stop this morning to worship together, to praise your holy name, to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day which you have humbly made for us. Let us bring our utmost praise unto your throne of mercy as we give thanks unto the remembrance of your holy name. Lord, allow your favor, presence, and mercy to rest on us in this service, in this day, and in our week ahead, as we hear the word of God brought to us, as we worship in your courts and rejoice in the sweet commune of your Holy Spirit. Fill us in this place and deliver us in your righteousness. As we bring our prayers of mercy before you, we pray for our church family, our friends near and far, strangers who are in need, our country and our world, as we pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. At this time, we welcome Miss Kelly to come forward with our children's moment.
Good morning, everyone. Come on down. Hey, big guy. Big day. Whoa. Yeah, I just want you to stay right there. Right. Sit. There we go. It was a real big day. All right. Hey, guys, come a little bit closer. Good morning. So the holidays just ended, and I am sure that you guys probably had guests at your house, or maybe you were a guest in someone's house. Yeah? So I'm sure you saw your parents cleaning and organizing, maybe going to the store to buy extra food to prepare for these extra guests. And then whenever they arrived, you probably welcomed them at the door, offered them something to drink, maybe played outside. You made them feel special to be at your house, and you probably invited them back. So whenever we have a guest, we always want them to feel welcomed in our home. Now, today I want to tell you about a time Jesus welcomed a guest over, but it was a different kind of guest. It was the time Jesus welcomed God's Holy Spirit into his life and into himself. There was a certain way Jesus prepared for and welcomed the Holy Spirit. Jesus chose to be baptized by John the Baptist. And to be baptized, John and Jesus stood in the Jordan River, and then John dunked Jesus very gently. Okay, very gently, into the water. It was like John gave Jesus a really quick bath, which also sounds a lot like Jesus was cleaning up before his guests arrived, right? Then, once God's Holy Spirit was welcomed by Jesus, Jesus and the Holy Spirit went out and did amazing things together. One of the things that Jesus did with the help of God's Holy Spirit was teaching his disciples how to welcome the Holy Spirit into their own lives by praying alone and with others. Another way Jesus taught the disciples to welcome the Holy Spirit into their lives was by worshiping God together. When the disciples did these things to welcome God's Holy Spirit into their lives, then they were better prepared to do the same things Jesus did, which was sharing God's healing love with those around him. And isn't it interesting that some things that Jesus taught his disciples are things we do right here in our own church? When we do these things by ourselves and as a church, then we are better prepared to do the same amazing things Jesus and his disciples did by sharing God's love. As we learn to do things Jesus teaches us about welcoming God's Holy Spirit into our own lives, and more amazing things we and God can do together. And isn't that wonderful? So let's pray before we go to children's church. Dear God, help us to welcome your Holy Spirit into our lives just like Jesus did, and he teaches us to do. In your name we pray. Amen.
As the ushers come and we prepare our hearts now for our offering, let us go to God in prayer in these moments. Eternal God, we praise you that we can worship, that we can sing praises, that we can offer our prayers, but also, Lord, that we can give of our tithes and our gifts and offerings out of the abundance with which you have given us. Let us truly worship you, even in our giving today. We pray in and through the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
invite you to remain standing as we turn now to the Holy Word of God, to the scripture today is in Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove alighting on him, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As we're in the season of Epiphany, and we come to remember this event in the life of Jesus, I'm always amazed every time I come to this in many, many years, as we talk about the baptism of Jesus. And it's still kind of shocking, really, to me, knowing it, repeating it over and over again. And a lot of what I share with you, things that we've shared previously, but this is a service of remembrance as well of our baptism. It always has me scratching my head in wonder and amazement. How could Jesus be baptized? And from my youth, I understood that Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. He would indeed be the sinless sacrifice for our sins, for the sins of the world. He was the Son of God, God in the flesh. Made no mistakes or errors. He was absolutely perfect in every way. Earlier, or John in his witness and testimony of Jesus would say as well, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." This is the perfect Lamb, the spotless Lamb of God. And from this came the understanding of the fulfillment of the Old Testament that Jesus would be the perfect and sinless sacrifice for us. Indeed, Jesus was the only one who could do that because he was the only sinless human who ever lived. But again, that comes back to the question, that being the case, then why was he baptized? Of course, John was also shocked at Jesus coming into the waters to be baptized, asking the question, "Why are you coming to me for baptism? I need to be baptized by you, Lord." Jesus was baptized, and as we talk about this, certain things I think come to our attention in trying to find words to explain it. Here are a few thoughts about it. I believe Jesus was baptized to fully comply with the known will of God for his life. The choir just sang beautifully, "Trust and Obey." This was exactly what Jesus was doing in his baptism. He never strayed from doing the will of God. We believe from other scriptures that this is exactly what God the Father wanted Jesus to do. And that's why I think he spoke from heaven after Jesus was baptized and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." God spoke those words because Jesus had fully complied with what God wanted him to do, even humbling himself and walking and wading into the waters of baptism. In that, he was supremely obedient to God and God's plan for the salvation of the world, ultimately leading to the cross. That was God's plan for Christ and for our salvation. Theologians like Martin Luther see baptism, they actually call it a dress rehearsal for death. Not a very entertaining thought, right? But a dress rehearsal for death. In this, Jesus knew in his baptism, this was kind of a prelude, if you will, to his passion and his death, and ultimately to his resurrection. When he was wading into the waters of baptism, he was saying yes to God's plan of salvation, which meant, as he saw this as a prelude to his death, and he was willing to lay down his life for all of us, sinners though we be. Someone has said, well, also, even in our funeral liturgy, as in baptism, we put on Christ, So in Christ, we will now be clothed in glory. The Evangelical Catechism states, when we die, we are catching up to our baptism. So here in this scene in the Jordan River, Jesus is publicly declaring his trust and obedience to God the Father and his great love for all of us and our world and his willingness to humble himself in the waters of baptism. Another reason why I think Jesus was baptized was he was fully identifying with our human condition. All our sinfulness, all our infirmities, all our weaknesses. We obviously need baptism because we are all sinners. We need the cleansing and renewing grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives, which the external waters of baptism represent. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, God made him, that is Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And Hebrews 4:15 and following talks about Jesus being our great high priest. Verse 14 and following, it says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This tells us in Hebrews, Jesus as our great high priest fully identifies with where we are in our lives. He was made like us in every way so that we in turn might be like him. He was tempted in every way like we are so that he might be able to show us how to overcome temptation. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, so that he might help us in the midst of our infirmities, our hurts, our losses, our weaknesses, if you will. So Jesus is fully identifying with our humanity when he walked into the waters of baptism. Another reason why I believe Jesus was baptized was to set an example or pattern for us as his followers. Jesus may not have needed to be baptized, but he knew that all of us would need to be baptized. As you look at John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, what was his mission? He was the forerunner of Jesus, preparing the way for Christ, announcing, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is saying, as an advertisement, mark your calendars, don't miss this. Don't miss the Messiah. Don't miss the Christ. And what was his mission? That was his message. What was his mission? His mission was the message of repenting and believing and baptizing for the forgiveness of sins. So the significance of baptism came through John, and it has been extended through church history now to where we are today. It is actually one of the sacraments of our church. Church has two sacraments. One being Holy Communion and the other being what we're remembering today, and that is baptism. A couple of things about a sacrament. What is it that makes a sacrament a sacrament? Well, we call them sacraments. A sacrament is an experience or an event that was directly commanded by Jesus. And here it was modeled by Jesus for us. When he said concerning Holy Communion, do this in remembrance of me. And in baptism, he gave the Great Commission where he says that we are to go into all the world and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So these sacraments of the church are directly commanded and ordained by Jesus himself. Now, the other thing about the sacrament is it conveys grace. Mysteriously, the grace of God is in operation in the holy sacraments. St. Augustine, the great church father, gave the classic definition of a sacrament. He said, it is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. The outward sign of water indicates the inward cleansing and change in the hearts by the cleansing work of God's Spirit. The water represents our sins being cleansed, washed away. But we know we cannot do that ourselves. It is the operation of the grace of God making that a reality in our lives. Baptism is often called a rite of initiation into the church. Before a people become members of the church, most any mainline church, Protestant church, before they become members, two things happen. They make a profession of faith in Christ as their Savior, and then they are baptized. And follows the pattern of the gospel as Peter spoke out on the day of Pentecost. He said to the believers, repent, believe, and what? Be baptized, all of you. And then he said, you will receive the Holy Spirit. So baptism is our initiation into the church. But I hope it's much more than that. Our baptism also gives us our sense of identity as the people of God. Baptism places us in covenant with God and with each other. It's not an event that guarantees our salvation, where we can be baptized and then we're set, but rather it marks us as true disciples and followers of Jesus. It's a covenant that we're entering into. It confirms our commitment to Christ and to walk as a follower of Christ. Baptism means that our identity is now in Christ. I've mentioned this before, and I think it's so important to help us realize the significance of baptism. Each of us have a birth certificate. It gives you your identity as to who you are, of your particular family. I'm a part of a family line, and I'm given a name. And that serves as my identity so that others know who I am. Wherever I go, whatever I do, whatever activity I engage in, every waking hour of the day, every hour of the night, I am a price. That is my name. That is my identity. And in baptism, it gives us our spiritual identity. It may be looked upon as like our new birth certificate. I belong to Christ. So wherever I go and whatever I do, I am a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. That's something that we cannot compartmentalize or put in pockets or avenues of activity. I'm a Christian husband to my wife. I'm a Christian father to my children. I'm a Christian friend to those around me. I'm a Christian when I'm out with my friends. I'm a Christian when I'm down at the beach. I'm a Christian when I'm at the ball game. Whatever activity I engage in, my baptism marks me as I'm being identified with the people of God as a follower of Christ. So baptism is not just a rite of initiation in the community of faith. It's a true identification with Christ's death and resurrection and a new orientation of life from that of earthly to heavenly, from that of sinful living to righteous living, from that of seeking only things here to seeking things above. Of seeking the kingdom of God first, really. Another important aspect of Jesus' baptism that also I think parallels our own experience as well is that it marked the beginning of his public ministry. Jesus' baptism was really his launching pad, if you will, into public ministry. He was baptized before he opened blind eyes. He was baptized before he cleansed lepers. He was baptized before he healed the lame. He was baptized before he preached good news. He was baptized before he walked on water. He was baptized before he fed the multitude. He was baptized before he surrendered himself on the cross and was resurrected himself. One might debate whether Jesus already had the Spirit, as we know he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. But certainly, the Holy Spirit came down as a dove at his baptism. And what we're talking about here is our baptism is not just with water, but it is also by Spirit. And it is the Spirit that enables us and empowers us, really our launching pad, if you will, to mission and ministry in the world. I wonder if perhaps we might have been baptized with water, but not with the Spirit. In that case, our heart may be divided and our mission missing. If you look at the disciples before Pentecost, they were fearful and uncertain. They were hiding, really, in uncertainty. But when the Spirit came, they were emboldened. They were empowered. Again, it was a launching pad for mission and ministry that happened all the way through the book of Acts. We read about that. When you think about our own church tradition, John Wesley, we might say that he was a reluctant missionary. He was struggling in his faith until the night in Aldersgate, when he felt his heart strangely warmed. And the Holy Spirit brought about an assurance in his life that he was a child of God. And from that assurance came his mission and ministry in the world. It really brought revival to the nation of England and the movement that began in early America and continues to this day. So our baptism is by water and the Spirit. We need both. Our identity and our mission in Christ through the waters of baptism. I love the little chorus that's been through the years in the church. It says very simply, "Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Fill with thy Spirit till all shall see. Christ only always living in me." Here there is a consistency of power and strength to live like Christ. And that is what our baptism calls us to do. Or in the words of the great gospel song, "Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart, in my heart. Lord, I want to be a Christian in my heart." That's what we're saying in our baptism. And in these holy moments together, we're going to have a renewal of a reaffirmation of our baptism. We're going to be following the covenant that is in the hymn book on page 50. It will also be on the screens for you as well. We ask you to follow along there as you will, and then we'll give further instruction as we come to the actual baptismal remembrance itself.
As we go into our baptismal covenant and our reaffirmation of that covenant, our introduction to this service reminds us, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church.
A moment ago, I talked about baptism being a covenant, and in covenants, there are vows that are taken. And so we're renewing vows here, this part of this remembrance. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? According to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? So let's join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures, the Old and New Testaments. As you note earlier, we did not say the Apostles' Creed. It is incorporated into these questions and answers today. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ,
His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thanksgiving over the water. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing else existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his work to the nations, his glory among all people. Pour out your Holy Spirit, and by this gift of water, call to our remembrance the grace declared to us in our baptism. For you have washed away our sins, and you clothe us with righteousness throughout our lives, that dying and rising with Christ, we may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Going to form two lines in the center of the church here, and those on this side will come down this way, those on this side this way, and we will simply place the water upon your forehead and the sign of a cross and say, remember your baptism and be thankful. These may be moments when you want to make new commitments to your life to the Lord. You're invited to time at the altar to pray today as well as God would lead you. We simply invite you to come in these moments to remember your baptism as a follower of Christ. Is there anyone who wants to be served or to be remembered as you're in the pew and not able to come forward today? Any others?
Please stand as we sing our closing hymn.
As we prepare to depart, just a few announcements we want to remind you of. We are excited to be welcoming our guest speaker on January the 22nd at both our 8:45 and 11 services, Dr. John Oswalt. So we invite you to come out and hear him speak. We also want to remind families about the preschool registration. You'll find the calendar of registration and deadlines in your bulletin. We want to remind you about a new class that's coming. It's not okay. It's okay to not be okay exploring grief together, and that will begin January 24th. It is okay to not be okay. So please be on the lookout for that as well. God is truly in the building. What a blessed time we have had today. May we go forward from this place and remember our baptism, the covenant that God has, that we have with God, to live into that covenant and to live righteously for the sake of Jesus Christ. Go forth in the peace, the love, and the blessing, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit. Until we meet again, my friends, God bless and be with you.